You are now listening to the Random Rambles of Jay.
Number 14.
Hi there, welcome to Super Games.
You alright, mate? I'd like to take an Xbox 360, please.
Why is that?
Because I want one.
No, Xbox 360's a crap. Get a PS3 instead.
No, thanks. I'd rather have an Xbox 360.
I'll go get you a PS3, sir. If you just like to wait here.
No, excuse me. I want an Xbox 360.
Yes, and I'm telling you to get a PS3 instead.
Are you joking?
I don't joke about PS3. Plus, we're out of Xboxes anyway.
Is that why there's a pyramid of them stacked behind the till?
They're dummy boxes.
Then why are the guys at the till putting them in bags and handing them to the customers?
Because they're stupid, that's why. I'll go get you a PS3.
Okay, I see what's going on here. I'm done talking to you. I'm going to go speak to someone else who doesn't ride Sony's dick and have a DualShock analog stick stuck in their ass. Excuse me.
No! I won't let you buy that 30% failure rate piece of shit console!
Ow! Can you let go of my arm?
I won't let you do it, I say. I won't let you.
Mate, you're hurting my... Can you let go? You're hurt. You're crushing my fingers. Ow.
Buy a PS3, you bitch. Buy it.
Now. Buy it now.
I'm in this position voluntarily.
Forget Xbox 360. Now.
You are currently listening to the Random Rambles of Joe for the week beginning October 13th, 2008.
Jay, the best podcaster in the world, in an alternate universe. I am Jay, and this is my new podcast. Wow, I'm feeling the way my voice went up at the end of that. Hello there, and how are you? Hello. How are you, everyone out there? Welcome back for a new Random Ramble, a podcast which comes within a 4-week gap of my last podcast, which I'm very happy about. I said in my last Random Rumble, I would try to make an effort to get these podcasts out to you sooner, within like a once a month kind of time frame, as opposed to once every 3 months. And I've done it. Yay. But let's save the celebrations and the party poppers yet, because who knows what could happen next. But I'm going to try my hardest to get podcasts out on a monthly basis. So here we go. My next aim is to get one out for the last week of October. Let's see if I can stick to that. But I hope that everyone who was tuned in for podcast number 13 is back for number 14. And I'm going to dive straight into this podcast for that segment where I get to talk all about me, as per usual, in a segment that is called In My Life. It's my life. Okay, what has been going on in the life of Random Jay? Sometimes I wonder why I keep doing these segments, because I really have very little to say. And I don't know why I keep saying that, because I still managed to pad this In My Life section out for 20 minutes. But in terms of gaming, nothing has been going on. I actually don't think I've played a game I'm lying. The only game I've played between podcast number 13 and this one is Mario Kart. There was one period where I was playing it quite a bit online with a friend of mine, but you know, that didn't last. I think there was two nights in particular where we were playing it for hours. I mean, up from 1 till like 4 in the morning. It was ridiculous. We was playing it for so long. And now the novelty's gone. It sucks when you don't have voice chat. But there you go. But other than that, very little gaming. Most of... I just don't know. I just haven't really been gaming much. There aren't really... All the games that I want to play are either on systems that I don't own, or they're not releasing for God knows how many months, years, whatever. So I just haven't been playing many games, and I think around Christmas hopefully that will change, but at the moment no gaming, very little gaming. Other than that, what have I been doing in the few moments of spare time that I do get to enjoy? Still listening to music, listening to lots and lots and lots of music. For those, oh, just hit my knee against the box there. I'm a music fan, a music lover, and I'm very opinionated, as if, well, those of you who listen to my past few podcasts will know that, but I'm very opinionated and I love music. Really, really do love music. I'd say in terms of my passions, I'm probably more passionate about music than gaming, just because music, I had a love of music long before gaming came along. And so I've been listening to a great deal of music. And in terms of socialising and silly stuff, going out, clubbing on odd days, drinking. And do you know something that I know a lot of you are going to be like, about? I only saw The Dark Knight in cinemas a couple of weeks ago. The film's been out for over a month. And I was supposed to go and see it with a friend of mine, but she was like, every time we were supposed to go and see it, something came up with me, something came up with her, and we didn't end up seeing it. And then randomly one night, one of my friends phoned me and was like, oh, I'm going to see The Dark Knight with such and such, do you want to come? And I was like, yeah, sure. And we went and saw it. And it is a really good film. I haven't seen Batman Begins. So for me, The Dark Knight wasn't just a case of looking at the film. How can I put it? Right, I hadn't seen Batman Begins. I still haven't seen that film. So The Dark Knight for me wasn't just a case of seeing it through the eyes of someone who has heard that this is an amazing film and just seeing how Heath Ledger portrays the Joker. But it was also a chance for me to see how Christian Bale handles Batman and Bruce Wayne, and to see Michael Caine's portrayal of Alfred and Morgan Freeman's character, and so on and so forth. So it was me looking at, you know, the whole Batman universe redone since whoever the last Batman guy was, George Clooney or Val Kilmer, was in the leading role. And I have to say, it was a really good film. It was really dark. I'm shocked it managed to get a 12A. They really did push it. They really pushed that 12A certification to the limit, because there were certain moments where I thought to myself, hold on a minute, I'm not sure how they got away with that. But it was a really good film. I didn't think it was as amazing as many people were making it out to be, but it was a really good film. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. And the one thing that is undisputable and is not up for debate is Heath Ledger's performance in that film. He was absolutely fantastic as the Joker. I cannot praise that guy enough. He just played the Joker brilliantly. I mean, he blew Jack Nicholson's performance out of the water completely. Jack Nicholson who? Come on now. Heath Ledger's performance was brilliant. And pun fully intended, he was Ledge in that film. He was just outstanding. Brilliant. The thing I loved about the way he played the Joker is that, in a sick, twisted way, you really did understand the Joker. You understood why he was doing what he was doing. And it was really twisted, because you completely got him as a villain. And he wasn't just evil. I know usually in some films, the antagonist is just evil. That's it. Is that black and white? But with the Joker, it wasn't. And I think that's what made the film quite psychologically disturbing in a way, because you had more empathy and understood the Joker more than you understood Batman. And I love the way they towed that line. And also, the Joker's just funny. Even when he's killing people and he's being a complete bastard, he's funny. It's just absolutely brilliant. I love the way he messes with people's minds and he manipulates them. And it's not even a case of manipulation, but the thing is about the Joker is he is so honest. Everything he says is the truth, and he's honest, and Batman finds it hard to deal with that, as do a lot of other people in the film, or the characters within the film itself. And I think that's what made Batman so brilliant. It wasn't just that Heath Ledger's performance was outstanding, but it was that the script and the screenplay writing and a lot of the ideologies in the film, they were just so on point, and I loved that. It was one of those films where there were certain moments where you actually sat and thought, wow, the Joker's actually talking complete sense. And I had no idea that Gary Oldman was in the film as Commissioner Gordon. Had no idea. I love Gary Oldman. He's such a brilliant and versatile actor, representing for the good old UK and doing his thing in the US. And so that was a nice surprise for me, because I had absolutely no idea that he played Commissioner Gordon in the film. And I always liked Commissioner Gordon from the animated series of Batman, so I'm glad that Gary Oldman played that role really well. And I also didn't know Morgan Freeman was... I knew Morgan Freeman was in the film, but I wasn't sure who he played. And I'm a big fan of Morgan Freeman. I love that guy's films. Even certain films of his that aren't so good, I can watch them because he's in it. I just think he's such a really cool, understated actor. And he played the role in the... He played his role in the film really well. Christian Bale was good as Bruce Wayne, but Batman... Is it just me, or was his voice as Batman really odd and overcooked? Like, when he was when Batman doesn't talk all that much in this film, it's usually the odd word and the odd sentence. But there's one point at the end of the film where he's actually talking for quite a long time, and I was sitting there wincing and kind of had my eyes squinted with my head kind of tilted. I was like, his voice sounds really odd and quite stupid. His voice is really, you gotta do it, you gotta. Gotham City doesn't need me. I'm gonna turn myself in. The Gotham City needs a man like him. And I hated his voice. It sounded like, those of you who have seen the cartoon show, The Boondocks, he sounded like Uncle Ruckus with a throat infection. His voice was just really odd, and it was so overcooked, and there was no need for all the and it was annoying because Christian Bale, he kind of contorted his mouth into this weird kind of where his lips were curled back and his teeth were out, and he was like I hated it. I really hated his voice as Batman. But other than that, it was a really great film. I'd definitely buy that on DVD when it comes out. Really, really enjoyed it. And one thing about Batman that made me and a couple of my friends laugh was the Joker kills several people in the film. And when the Joker killed his third victim, I was just sitting there kind of looking at the screen thinking, And I thought, I'm not going to say anything to my friends because they're going to just turn around and say, oh, you would say that. But then when I saw the fourth person get killed by the Joker, I thought, okay, now this is really obvious and I can't be the only person that's noticing this pattern that's occurring. So I turned to my right, I looked to my friends, and they were already looking at me, like they were waiting for me to turn around. One of my mates put like four fingers up, and then my other mate did, and then I did as well. And the one thing that silently we all agreed on together was the fact that the Joker seemed to be killing off all of the black characters. I mean, those of you who have seen The Dark Knight and you can remember that film very well, think about all of the people that the Joker kills and you'll realise, and also remember, hold on, they were all black men. I mean, we was all laughing about it. I mean, it was just me and my friends having a laugh. It never occurred or crossed my mind that, oh, the director was being racist or whatever. I understand it was probably just complete coincidence that five of the people the Joker happened to kill were black. But there was one scene when Two-Face actually becomes Two-Face, and the Joker's walking through a hospital and there's a black security guard and he's like, hey, what are you? And the Joker shoots him in the face. And then that was the fifth black person to die. And again, me and my friends looked at each other like, That's what was running through my head. And I see Joker, I see you, Joker, I see you killing off n****s. But I mean, that was something that made us all laugh. But yeah. What else is there that I can talk about? Oh, do you know, earlier this evening, I think I ran over a rodent. Or something. I was driving on the motorway this evening, and I just saw it run in front of the car. I'm actually not sure whether I ran it over or it managed to get in between, if it managed to get through the middle of the car, in between the tyres, but a rodent or a ferret looked like a ferret. It looked too big to be a mouse. It looked more like a ferret, but it ran in front of the car. And I actually didn't check to see the tyres. I didn't actually check the tyres or the wheel arches when I got out of the car to see if there's something, some roadkill under there. I probably should check, but that's something. I actually have run over a fox. I'm not sure if I mentioned this in a previous random ramble, but I have run over a fox. That was actually quite funny. It's weird because there's this motorway that I drive up and down on quite a regular basis. And there's constantly dead foxes on this. It's terrible. The amount of dead foxes you see on this road is just terrible. So many. It's just fur and guts all the way. And I was driving along thinking to myself, it's weird how I've driven along this road for so many years and I've never actually hit a fox despite seeing many dead foxes on the road. And just as I said that to myself, I think I actually did say it out loud to myself in the car, I saw a fox in the middle of the road. I was like, oh God. And it wasn't moving. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going to swerve my car out into another lane and put myself in danger. Because they actually do say it's safer to run over. I mean, little creatures like that aren't going to completely crush your car. I mean, if it was a deer or a cow or a horse, then obviously you're better off swerving out the way. But little things like foxes and cats and ferrets, mice, dogs, they say it's safer to run them over rather than you swerving out into another lane and causing a possible collision with another car in the lanes adjacent to you. They usually say it's safer to run them over. I mean, even if driver's ed and the highway code said that you were supposed to go in another lane, I wouldn't. I just can't be bothered. I thought, you know, forget this. He's sitting in the middle of the road. I want to get home. I'm not swerving out of the way. You're going to have to get run over. That's what ran through my mind. So I was just driving. Little baby fox was sat there, looked straight at me, and I looked in the rearview mirror, it's lying on the floor, and then there was a bus behind me. And so if I didn't kill it, then that bus sure as hell flattened it straight out and smeared it into the road. And I was like, oh well, and just kept driving. I'm glad it was actually a baby fox so that there was no chance of it kind of flying up onto the bonnet of the car. I honestly do not know what I'd do if I was to hit an animal and it was to fly up on the bonnet of the car and stay there and not roll off. I'd just be like, I'd be putting on the windscreen wipers hoping it'll wipe off. I wouldn't get out of the car and touch it. I would rather just drive with it on the windscreen in the hope that at some point I'll go fast enough and the resistance would just kind of have it slide off to the side. But I honestly don't know what I'd do. But there you go. That's my interesting story for today. I've run over a fox and possibly run over a ferret. And I'm thinking if there's anything else I can mention, but I think that's just about it. That concludes everything that has happened in the life of Jay up until this point. And that concludes the segment 4 in my life. I blog at www.randomjblog.com. You can check out my podcasts at www.therandomramblesofj.blogspot.com. Stop complaining.
What? It's true. This is like the only game you play with me online.
It's because none of my other games work.
How come?
Because my Xbox 360 decided to scratch them to death every time I fed it a disc. It's not funny. There's about 100 quid's worth of my games that just don't work. You want to see my copy of Rock Band? It looks like somebody rollerbladed all over the disc.
Dude, that sucks.
Tell me about it. I'm just hoping that my 360 doesn't go and... Oh, you are joking. Oh, come on. Oh, this is friggin' hell. Come on. Work. 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 Oh, flipping hell. Gaming front, first off, I have to mention, have you lot seen the new DS, the DSi? That name is so sexy, the DSi. Not DS or DS Lite, the DSi. Sexy name. I wouldn't say I'm excited about the DSi, but I'm excited at the prospect of what the DSi is going to offer in terms of its connectivity to the Nintendo Wii, because the DSi definitely looks like... I mean, it looks like that the focus for the DSi was not to make it more of a multimedia hub, but to make the transferring of data and connectivity between the DS and the Wii much easier due to the DSi featuring an SD card slot. And with users being able to access the... I'm not sure what they're going to name it, but like I think they're calling it the DS Shop, where you can download new software and new games, much in the same way you can access the Wii Shop and download WiiWare and Virtual Console titles on the Nintendo Wii. There's this... The DSi looks like Nintendo are trying to unify the DS and Wii more. And in that respect, I think that the DSi is pretty nifty. And I'm really, really impressed with it. Even though at first it was quite underwhelming when Nintendo first revealed it and you saw it. It was kind of like, it's got a couple of cameras and it's got an SD card slot and a slightly bigger screen. But that's it. That was my initial reaction. But then when I sat and thought about it and really read about the features of the DSi, I completely 150% understood why Nintendo put the DSi out. And then I began to get excited about it because I thought about the prospect of what Nintendo could do with the DSi in relation to the Nintendo Wii. And at first I was like, why didn't they change the look of it and make it sleeker and sexy? But to be honest and to be fair to Nintendo, the DS Lite still looks as sexy now. It still looks as slick, as sexy, and as aesthetically pleasing now as it did 2 years ago. So, you know, if the system still looks nice and it looks absolutely fine aesthetically and also ergonomically, then why go ahead and change it again? It makes no sense. So now I'm really completely won over on the idea of the DSi. I think it's amazing is probably a strong word, but I love what Nintendo's done with it. And it's going to be exciting to see how Nintendo push it. It's also going to be really interesting to see how the software gets handled on it. The DSi features a camera and it features two cameras, and it also features a DS Shop. You can access the internet wirelessly with the DS, so if you've got access to a wireless hub, you can access the DS Shop and download new stuff. And the system also has an SD card slot. So I'm wondering if we are going to begin to see games which utilise the camera and also the SD card slot. Obviously, if this is and was something that was going to happen, then DS Lite owners and original DS owners are also going to miss out. The camera functionality and the SD card functionality is not going to be accessible to them unless they upgrade to a DSi. So it's going to be really interesting to see if Nintendo try and phase out the DS Lite. They said they're not going to in North America. The DSi currently doesn't have a Western release date. It's got a tentative summer release date, but nothing concrete. But still, this is something that could definitely happen, where you get games and software that are pushing the whole SD card and camera support, but DS Lite and DS users are obviously going to miss out on that. So that's going to be interesting to see which direction Nintendo and also third-party developers go with that. And other than that, I haven't got much else to say other than the DSi. It seems like Nintendo made the right choices with the functions and the look of it. The only thing that I personally don't see it as a major drawback, but a lot of other people will, is that the DSi doesn't have a Game Boy Advance slot, which means you can no longer play Game Boy Advance games on it. But, you know, the DSi has an SD card slot, which lends itself very nicely to some homebrew activity. So you could always be really naughty and download ROMs of GBA games and run them onto the SD card and then play them on the DS. I'm not condoning that, but that's an option for some who are thinking about upgrading to a DSi and don't want to lose out on being able to play their GBA games. That personally wouldn't affect me because I don't play any GBA games, at least not anymore. I didn't have much of a collection to begin with, so that's no skin off my nose. But I know that's something that may affect a lot of DS-owning GBA gamers out there. And a lot of people are also saying that the DSi is in direct competition with the iPod Touch. I don't think it is. What people buy an iPod Touch primarily because A, they want to be able to say they have an iPod Touch, and for that whole factor of, oh, look at me, I've got an iPod Touch. And then also because they obviously want to listen to their music on the go and also watch the videos. The fact that the iPod Touch has really good games graphics and can play games and has a touch screen is a bonus. Just in the same way that people who buy a Nintendo DS, they buy it primarily because they want to play good games and have access to a solid library of games. The fact that it will now be able to play music and has an SD card slot for additional storage is a bonus. So they're not in direct competition with one another. And I think that Nintendo were very smart with the DSi. I mean, I'm not basing this on any statistics or anything that I've seen, but the way I'd see it, the chances are a lot of young boys in school under the age of 12, that more of them own a DS than an iPod. And that chances are parents would be more willing to buy their child a DS than an iPod. When you think of buying a young child something, you think, oh, I'll buy them something that they can sit and play and they can engage with. You can't really engage with an iPod. Well, you can sit and listen to music on it, obviously, but for a young child, you think it'd be better to get them a DS because they can sit and play it. And also with the DSi, they will be able to listen to music on it too, if they want to do that. And also, the iPod seems more stealable and jackable than the DS, just because of the whole stigma attached to iPod with it being fresh and, you know, the latest kit and whatnot. I think people who were going to rob someone, they'd go for the iPod more than the DS. And so Nintendo smart with the DSi because they're penetrating the market at every which angle. But still, with that being said, I don't think they're in direct competition with Apple or the iPod, but you can definitely see that Apple borrowing ideas from Nintendo and Nintendo borrowing ideas from Apple. That is blatantly obvious, and I think they're smart to do it. I think it's cool that they're doing it. I mean, Apple are the leaders when it comes to MP3 players. Apple don't make the best MP3 players, but they're the best in that market. They're steering in their own lane. So who better for Apple to borrow ideas from than the leaders in the handheld gaming market? And who better for Nintendo to borrow ideas from for their handhelds than the leader in the MP3 player market? It makes sense. And is healthy competition as opposed to being in direct competition. I think that's really cool. If Apple and Nintendo doing this can both make them better companies and bring better products to the table, then, you know, I don't see which bad can come from it. So I'm all for that. I'm really excited about what the DSi can offer in terms of compatibility to the Wii. I'm just really upset that Nintendo seem to be able to get everything right with their handhelds, but they still keep cocking up with their consoles. Nintendo could have kept the DS Lite out and not worried about an upgraded version of it for years. You know, the DS could still sell itself. It will do for years to come. But I think the Wii really needs a kick up the backside now. Nintendo need to sort out a storage solution for this system. None of this SD card crap. They need to come out with a portable hard drive. It has to be done. And Nintendo also need to ditch these friend codes and really embrace voice chat and get more of an online community going with Wii. It's ridiculous. They are so far behind Xbox Live in that respect. And also the PS Network. It's really stupid how Nintendo seem to be putting so many clamps down when it comes to the Wii, but they're so free and open-minded when it comes to the DS. I really don't get that. And that I just don't get that. I think if anything, Nintendo should have focused on really trying to upgrade the Wii than upgrading the DS. And I guess time will tell, but Nintendo definitely need to fix up with the Wii, definitely, because I'm losing interest in the Wii more and more every day. I do not play it. There were times that I'll sit in front of my TV and think to myself, I want to play the Wii, but there's just nothing on it that I know is going to engage me for a long period of time. I mean, I've already completed Metroid Prime 3 and Twilight Princess and Super Mario Galaxy. I still haven't played Zack and Wiki, but every time I put that game on, I think I just can't be bothered to play it. So I'm hoping that before 2008 comes to a close, that Nintendo will really address some of these issues and just put them to rest. They need to get gamers excited again. They need to make Wii owners feel as though they're proud to own a Wii and that they made the right decision purchase-wise. I often think to myself, well, I don't see the point in me having bought the Wii because I rarely play it. And I'm much more excited about the prospect of having an Xbox 360 by the end of the year. So, you know, Nintendo need to get me excited about owning a Wii again. They really do.
Interlude.
Disaster, Day of Crisis. Now, when I first saw Disaster, the trailer was only a couple of seconds long. It was when the Wii was first unveiled and Nintendo had a trailer which showed lots of the games that would be coming out for the Wii in the future. And, oh god, excuse me, Disaster was one of the games that was shown for a split second. But from that split second, I was like, oh, what game is that? Because it had a very The Day After Tomorrow feel about it. And I really liked the look of it. But then it dropped off the radar. And now, of course, as we all know, the game has been in development all along and is going to release by the end of the year. I think October's the release date. And it's one of those games where it doesn't look amazing, but it looks good enough that it catches your attention and it makes you think, I actually really want to play this game. I was a bit skeptical at first because it looks like it's throwing lots of game styles into the mix. Like there's a driving section and a light gun section and a beat-em-up section and a platforming section and then kind of quick mini-game sections. And I was always sceptical because it always looked to me like the game was trying to be too many things and that it wouldn't pull all of these different styles off. But it could be the one game that ends up surprising a lot of people. I like the fact that the game looks very adult. It's not a kiddie game. And I just hope that Nintendo really do push this game and promote it because it looks like it has the potential to be a really big selling game on Wii. I've been sat on the fence about it for a long while because I haven't seen a trailer that's wowed me. The game looks interesting and I do want to play it, but right now, here and now, I don't know whether I'd buy it day of release. It may be one of those games where I might ask for it for Christmas or for my birthday, but I just can't see myself buying it day of release. But it is definitely a game that I've got my eye on, and it does look good. It looks different, and it looks adult. It actually looks like it. I'm hoping it's a hardcore game, and I'm hoping that it's really long. Because of the premise of the game, and because a lot of what's been shown of the game, it looks like it's all set within the same area. I just hope that the game is really well fleshed out. It looks like it's actually got a really good story to it as well, because I've seen a couple of the FMV sequences and they do look really, really good. But in terms of gameplay, I just hope that the developers really come through and that Nintendo really push it. Otherwise, we owners will just get fed up of Nintendo seemingly feeding casual gamers and not hardcore. The one thing that always sticks in my mind whenever I see disaster is that how good would this game look on an Xbox 360 or PS3? It makes me think, oh God, if only the Wii was a bit more powerful, but you know, what's done is done. The game is on Wii and it looks okay, I guess. But that's definitely a game I've got my eye on, and I recommend you keep your eyes on too. Another game that I saw that really caught my attention, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Echoes of Time. Dear God, that's a long ass title. And that's a game that's going to release on the Wii and DS, and you can do multiplayer. Like, say for instance, I may be playing the game on the Wii, and one of my mates may have the game on DS. We can play multiplayer, you know, cross-platform. Or we can play it online. I can sit and play it online with him with my Wii version, and he could do the same with me from his DS. And I think that is so brilliant. And the fact that this whole cross-platform gaming idea has stemmed from Square Enix shocks me. I didn't think Square Enix had it in them to come original and good with a game idea, let alone through a Final Fantasy game. I'm shocked. Damn, they must have employed some new people to work on that game. But the prospect of that really excites me. It's really cool. I think I will actually buy Echoes of Time. I'll probably end up buying it for the DS, just because I think with a game like Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, I think the stylus controls will probably work better than the Wii Remote. And plus, it'll give me an excuse to buy another DS game, because I honestly don't buy enough of them. But that game looks really, really good. I mean, graphically, it looks really nice. And like I said, the idea of being able to play it online with different people, regardless of which version of the game they have, I think that's a really good idea. And it's going to be interesting to see how other third-party developers will follow suit. And Nintendo are obviously going to follow Square Enix in their footsteps and get that cross-platform thing going. So that's a game that really shocked me. I haven't gotten excited. I'm not excited about Echoes of Time, but it's one of the few Final Fantasy games that has kind of had me sit up and think, wow, that looks really good. That's a really ingenious idea. And I hope we begin to see more of that between the DS and Wii, especially considering that so many of the games that are releasing on Wii just look so boring and lackluster. I think to have games that mix it up like Echoes of Time is a really good thing. And it'll make Wii owners feel like, how, we've got something that can't be done on the Xbox. Well, it could be done on the PS3, but it could be done on the PS3 and PSP, but not as many people own a PSP as those who own DS, and PSP's shit anyway. Yes, I said it. PSP's garbage. So hopefully that will get pushed, the whole DS and Wii connectivity thingy. And in the world of gaming, I think I'm done.
Ooh. Right now you are listening to the Random Rambles of J.
Hey, hey, hey!
Was there a game that you thought you'd like, and you decided to buy it? Then you got home to play it and realised it was shit. Let's talk about it!
There's this piece of shit game that's available for the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360. You may have heard of it. It's called Soul Calibur 4. The game is garbage. The game is absolute garbage. Now, I used to actually stand for Soul Blade and Soul Calibur like you would not believe. But after Soul Calibur 4, I'm just done with the... Oh, God. The game is absolute shit. And I'm going to sit here and tell you why. Now, if we're going to talk about the presentation of the game, the graphics in the game look absolutely stunning. It's easily one of the best looking 3D beat 'em ups on the market right now, without a shadow of a doubt. The game looks phenomenal. But graphics aren't everything, and graphics don't mean shit if the playability isn't there, and Soul Calibur 4 is just not playable. The game is crap, it's absolute shit. Sure, some people have turned around and said, oh, but it's got online play. I don't give two craps about online play when the game is just boring to play, full stop. It's crap. The problem with Soul Calibur 4 is that I have to look at Soul Calibur 4 not just as a standalone game, but as a sequel. Considering that the Soul series has been going for 10 years, it feels like there's very little advancement between Soul Calibur 1 and Soul Calibur 4. Soul Calibur 1 plays better than Soul Calibur 4 does. Soul Calibur 4 just feels really slow. They've got this whole armor breaking thing going on, which is just a shit system. It's absolutely crap, because there were times I was playing the game, I was whacking this bitch in her head and her leg armor was flying off. And there was one time I was playing it, 2 seconds into the round I got juggled and my armor just broke off, and it's like, what the hell? How come my armor's breaking off so quick? It's ridiculous. It's just stupid. The whole armor system doesn't work. Sega did it much better in Fighting Vipers, and that game is 10 years old. It's rubbish. And the way I see it, the whole armor breaking is just an excuse for Namco to just show more titties and ass, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, as if Ivy could be wearing any less. When her armor breaks off, it looks like she's been raped by a lizard man. It's just... I don't know how her titties don't pop out of that outfit. It's ridiculous. Soul Calibur 4, for me, is just a really shit game. Like I said, as a standalone game, it would be really good. But the fact that there seem to be very little developments between each sequel that Namco bring out, Soul Calibur 4 is an absolute disappointment. A lot of people hated Soul Calibur 3. I thought Soul Calibur 3 was a great game. I thought it was somewhat a return to form. It didn't play as well as Soul Calibur 1, but it was miles better than Soul Calibur 2. Whereas the differences between Soul Calibur 3 and 4 are minimal. Lots of the same stages that were in Soul Calibur 3, they're in number 4. The characters don't have a lot of new moves. Many of the options that were in Soul Calibur 3, they're in Soul Calibur 4. Soul Calibur 4 also has less game modes than Soul Calibur 3 did. I was really hoping we'd get a Chronicles of the Sword mode kind of revamped and redone, because that was actually quite a good mode in Soul Calibur 3, because it changed the pace of the game. But no, none of that. Just some bullshit modes and character creation that's crap. The game is just rubbish. It's absolute shit. If Namco actually put as much effort into tightening up the gameplay and making this a good sequel as they did into making Tucky's tits show through her unitard and having Ivy's breast size balloon about two sizes, then maybe Soul Calibur 4 would have been a good game. But as far as I can see it, it's complete shit. I have no desire to buy that game. I said at one point I would buy it if I saw it for £20. I changed my mind, I wouldn't. It's absolute shit. Soul Calibur 4 just doesn't feel fresh to me. And the few moments that I spent with Soul Calibur 4, I was getting flashbacks and was just reminiscing over Soul Calibur 2, which Soul Calibur 4 reminds me a great deal of. Now that is not a good thing, because Soul Calibur 2 was also shit. And Soul Calibur 4 following in 2's footsteps makes it also shit. It makes it equally shit. Namco really do need to return back to the drawing board with Soul Calibur 4, because they just brought nothing new to the table. The only thing they brought to the table were tits. Tits. And that's it. That's all Namco seemed to have brought to the table with Soul Calibur 4. It's just tits. Tits that can have armor stripped off so you can see more of the tits and more of the booty. It's just absolutely ridiculous. The game is just not fun to play. The Star Wars characters in it do very little for me. It's cool to control Darth Vader. I say Darth Vader because the PS3 version was the version I played. Darth Vader is a cool character, but the novelty wears off. The Apprentice actually feels... he actually fits in more with the Soul Calibur cast because of the way that he plays. But again, him being a Star Wars character, the novelty wears off very quickly. My advice to anyone out there with a PS3 is that if you're going to buy Soul Calibur 4 or you want to buy it, wait until it goes into the Platinum range or the Cheapo range, whatever Sony are going to call it for the PS3 generation. and buy Soul Calibur 3 instead. Soul Calibur 4 is a crap game. I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me, but I don't care. The game is absolute shit. I wouldn't spend 20 quid on it. It's crap. It's just tits. The game is just tits. It's just tits. I mean, Dead or Alive 4 is better than Soul Calibur 4, and I never ever thought I would see the day when a Dead or Alive game is better than a Soul Calibur 1, but hey, that day has come. Soul Calibur 4 is absolute shit. It's tripe, and it upsets me because it seems that Namco are just running Soul Calibur into the ground, and they can do much better. I mean, many of the animations from Soul Calibur 4, they're exactly the same as the animations from Soul Calibur 1. The animations in Soul Calibur 1 look good 7 years ago. They look outdated now. The whole rolling around on the floor after the KO when they get hit, and the throwing their hands up in the air when they get hit after the KO is played out. They need to go back to the drawing board. You want to see the animation for the hair blowing. It looks like an A4 piece of paper that just moves up and down. It doesn't flow at all. The clothes just flap around. It's like the characters look amazingly detailed, but they animate the way they did 7 years ago, which looked fine 7 years ago, but this is 2008 now. They can't be having ragged, carried over animation frames. It's not going to fly. And also, the new characters are just crap. Hild is rubbish. I can't even remember who the other new character's name is. I really don't care. And the guest characters are absolute shit. I don't care about some bitch named Angol Fear and some silly little woman who looks like Akuma's love child. It's just, the game is just whack. The game is rubbish. The game is garbage. Even the Soul Calibur stan in me can't defend Soul Calibur 4. The online play is good. And for guys out there who get their kicks from animated titties, you may like the game, but me personally, I think the game's absolute shit. I wouldn't recommend anyone buy it whatsoever. Crap, absolute doo-doo. If you've got an Xbox, you're better off downloading Soul Calibur 1 from the Xbox Live Marketplace, or finding a Dreamcast and buying the original Soul Calibur, because that shit's all over number 4 every which way. The game is just whack, 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 whack. The game is super whack, super whack. And that concludes another podcast from yours truly. As I mentioned in my last random ramble, my last podcast, the offer still stands. If any of you would like to send me any audio clips, whether it's a review of a game or you ranting on about why you hate a game so much, why you like a game so much, anything at all, feel free to send it to me and I will try and include it in a future podcast. My email is randomjmail@gmail.com. You can also drop a comment on my podcast blog, which is www.therandomramblesofj.blogspot.com. And I look forward to hearing some of your stuff. It'd be cool to actually hear the voices of the people who listen to my podcast. The people who are the reason why I do what I do, as it were. And I'm actually going to leave you with something a bit different today. Those of you who listen to the Random Rambles of J number 13 will also know of Koobs, as he featured in that podcast. And some of you may not know, but Koobs and I are actually real life friends. We're not just friends in the blogosphere sense that, oh, we blog and we became friends through blogging and the internet. We are actually real life friends. I know who he is. He knows who I am. We've met, whatever. We've been friends for years. And quite some time ago, we met up and we had a good old session on Rock Band. And there's one song in particular that we both got top scores on. He could do his little thing on the guitar and get top marks on. And I'll give you two guesses about what Random J's speciality on Rock Band is. Yeah, singer. I tried to get all good with the guitar. I'm just not good on the guitar. I'm sure if I was to practice with it, I could get good. But in terms of just getting down to it straight away without any learning curve, I was really crap on the guitar, and the same goes for the drums. Whereas with the microphone, you know, I got that in my hand and I sung and I was cool. Even songs that I didn't really know, I managed to get the hang of them quickly. I guess that's just a talent I have. You know, it eludes me why I don't have a record deal yet. I'm so good. But whenever, on the few occasions Koobs and I have played Rock Band, he's always on the guitar. Sometimes I might hop on the drums when I feel like a deviation, but most of the time I'm always singing on the microphone. And one song that we pride ourselves on being able to do really well is the Blue Oyster Cult's Don't Fear the Reaper, which is a song that I've loved ever since I was a little boy. God, that sounds so weird. It's a song I've always loved ever since I was young. And so to hear it in Rock Band and to sing it and know that I can sing it well, I actually pride myself on that. So I'll end this podcast with Coobs and I's Rock Band rendition of the Blue Oyster Cult's Don't Fear the Reaper. And until next time, be safe, keep gaming, keep in touch with me, and I will catch you on the next podcast. Take care. Bye.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Ooh, look at you.